I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The first time ever the state of Louisiana enters a float in the Rose Parade, and as such, a lot of exposure for the state of Louisiana. They also were in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade and received all kinds of kudos for same. Here to talk about is Charles Winham, PIO for the State Tourism Office. Charles, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Charles, I got to tell you, I got up that morning, watched the Rose Parade specifically to see the float. I was blown away. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely incredible. I've received a lot of texts this morning when I said we were going to talk about it, and folks have said the same thing. They were proud of the moment when they saw that float in the parade.
It just is simply amazing. I mean, that day in Pasadena was just full of joy, Louisiana joy, that just spread across. I can tell you the same thing. I talked to a lot of folks who also saw the parade on TV, had the fortunate situation in the grandstands, and hearing just the same thing. And it certainly didn't disappoint. And it was just full of Louisiana joy.
So a lot of people don't connect the dots, right? I mean, in the tourism world, we're in a competition business. We're competing against all other states that want to bring forward the best that they have to offer, and we're no different. Mm-hmm. But obviously, we are thinking out of the box maybe a little bit more than others and have taken advantage of both the Thanksgiving Macy's Parade as well as the Rose Parade and have had a great reaction to it. Tell us about how important this is, though, in connecting these dots.
It really is vital. And Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser really is part of the charge leading the way, and something with a three-year plan called the Sunshine Plan for marketing and promotions. And you hit the nail on the head. We got to think forward and ahead so that when COVID passes, when all the madness of the pandemic passes, people are itching to travel. And that's who we want to speak to. We want to speak to people on a national level. We want to speak to people on an international level. And these two parades were just perfect examples of that. I mean, the numbers that we're seeing for the Rose Parade alone, we had more than 65 million viewers worldwide. Now, in the United States, that means ABC, NBC, and the Hallmark Channel. And then internationally on Univision and Telemundo, just people, 700,000 lining the streets of Pasadena, seeing Louisiana front and center. It really didn't disappoint, for sure. And when you have Lane Hardy, who is, American Idol winner, everyone knows, and the Hot 8 Brass Band, Grammy nominated. We have nothing but great reasons to come and visit Louisiana and visit the entire state, too. This was a beautiful example of showcasing the entire state as it was shown on the float. It even included street signs of Baton Rouge and Shreveport and Houma, and the details of the Rose Parade, for example. I never got tired of it, and I was in the warehouse for 3 days prior to the January 1st float going through. It's important to reach and get that message out that we are here when that traveler, wherever they may be, is ready to go ahead and travel again.
I thought it was masterfully handled because the entire experience seemed to get a lot of attention in the media. Even, you know, the building of the flood, and this goes on every year, right? But it was so inclusive in nature where, you know, you guys had first responders, other members of society there. I think Southern University participated with their band, and a lot of different folks participated in the building of the float.
In the building of the float, there were hundreds of different volunteers, some Louisiana natives that had the chance to actually work on the Louisiana float. And it was just, it was wonderful. It was heartwarming. And I'm talking generations, too. There's a gentleman from California, probably left Louisiana by about age 5, but it did not matter. Louisiana was still in him. And he has been a float decorator volunteer for like over 30 years and had his son and grandson. So 3 generations of folks were actually working on the float, and was, you know, that was just one of many, many examples that way. And you make a great point about the heroes that we, the riders that were on our float, they were selected because they each personify the parade theme of dream, believe, and achieve. And we had Miss Louisiana America, Julia Claire Williams, Miss Louisiana USA, Tanya Crow, Deputy Dylan Crawford of St. Tammany Parish. He's the recipient of the 2021 Louisiana Deputy's Valor Award. Alyssa Carson of Hammond, Louisiana, an aspiring astronaut. Her goal is to fly on a future space mission to Mars. And also working the front lines of the COVID pandemic, Dr. Brian Parker of the Thibodaux Regional Medical Center. Kara Bailey Lee, a Jefferson Parish 2023 Teacher of the Year. Todd Terrell, founder and president of the United Cajun Navy, and Ashini Modi and her sister Marnie, who are Champion of Service Award winners, a couple of teenagers out of Caddo Parish who are inspiring, to say the least, and have created a nonprofit called Reading Rainforest that donated over 5,000 books to free libraries at homeless shelters. This is exactly what Louisiana is all about. And we had a full 3-minute global audience to showcase not only those people and the music, but also our food and culture. It was certainly it just was something that I haven't heard anyone yet that said they were disappointed with the Louisiana float. If anything, a gentleman from Colorado in the stands just said that was the best float of the parade that I've seen. And by the end of the parade, he didn't change his mind.
Yeah. Well, this all culminated in you guys receiving an award for all of this, all of the activities going forward. So tell us about that.
How about that? We're our first time at the Rose Parade, and we were the recipient of something called the Wrigley Legacy Award. It is one of the top 3 awards of the Rose Parade, and it's for outstanding display of floral presentation, float design, and entertainment. So to say we were just flattered and honored and humbled to be able to receive that significant an award for our very, very first time at the Rose Parade is just completely great news and unexpected.
So when we sum this all up, a win-win on all fronts.
It truly is. And once again, why we thought this was something important? Well, we want to bring that economic engine of tourism and travel back. We want millions of people around the world to know that they can feed their soul in Louisiana, all across the state. And it's just a celebration. And there's a lot of it's that day of a live stage performance. So you're very nervous heading out, and you're keeping your fingers crossed that everything will go according to plan. And not only did it go according to plan, but it even exceeded our expectations.
Charles, so tell us, and I'm assuming that you got to experience the Macy's Day event as well. Maybe I shouldn't assume that. Did you?
I was actually watching it from home on the television as well, but same concept of a very.
I'm kind of curious what you're hearing from the folks that visited both and those that are familiar with the experience in New Orleans relative to Mardi Gras. Some of the differences in the culture and everything around the excitement of the parade there?
Yeah, actually, from what I've heard from our staff and other boots on the ground, they may be parades, but there no two parades are alike. And so in New York City, we had a 60-foot alligator. We had John Batiste performing and 75 million people, television audience. And that was more of a feel, according to them, of a one-day experience. You know, the parade comes. There might be a few a pre-parade type stories that pop up, which – Louisiana also caught a good lion's share of attention because of a 60-foot alligator that's going down Madison Avenue. And so we just have we had some good exposure, two different types of parades where, from what I've told, Macy's has a more of a control on just exactly what we can do versus other promotional events that we were able to capitalize in Pasadena. There's after the parade itself, there's a festival of floats where all the parade floats just park it at Pasadena High School. And it's a ticketed event where the public can just look, walk up close, touch the roses, see all the detail to all of the floats. And that also gave us opportunities on a promotional and marketing side where we're handing out travel guides and beads and T-shirts, reminding people that the party just begins in less than a week with Mardi Gras when we were there just on January 1st and 2nd. And it's a nice spin. You know, you just always – there is something you can always talk to anybody about Louisiana because there is a genuine interest, and for good reason, with all the music and entertainment and food and just the joy of life that I don't really think you see – anywhere else in the U.S. We proudly say that Louisiana is America's foreign country, and come visit, and it's a trip.
Yeah, you know, I've been to the Thanksgiving Day parade, the Macy's parade. Actually, it snowed the day that we were there, so it was quite a different experience. We almost froze to death, but beyond that, it was fun though, and we went to the night before where they blow up the balloons, and that was very interesting as well when you walk through there and that in Central Park, and that was a lot of fun too. But you know, it's a different feel. Obviously, Mardi Gras is a 2-week event as opposed to a 1-day gig. In both of those examples, never been to the Rose Parade, but would very much love to. I hear it's absolutely stunningly beautiful.
It truly is. I mean, they have told me, and I still just shake my head, but our float alone had 35,000 flowers on it. And I believe it, but I just go, I would never guess the right amount of jelly beans in a jar then, because just that number just blows me away. And the detail, they had a fountain. They made a fountain out of flowers. They had alligators and brown pelicans, and using flax seed and all these organic materials, walnut shells and raisins for the alligator eyes. You couldn't. It was just a sensory overload of color, of organic items, and just a great celebration. It was just pure Louisiana joy.
And not that the two are connected, but a lot of momentum created. And then I was very excited when Mayor LaToya Cantrell said Mardi Gras is happening. And I think that was really important to all of our Mardi Gras crews, many of whom I don't know that they would be able to survive another year without parading, many of whom I think might have gone bankrupt. And thankfully, she has stayed the course, made the announcement, and I think all of this creates just a lot of momentum for this area.
It truly does. We're still, riding it from day to day, week to week, month to month. So our, 30-day, 60-day, 90-day plans, our 1, 2, 3-year plans are obviously need to be flexible. And when we can promote things like Mardi Gras, when we can tell people that, hey, Mardi Gras is a season, it isn't just a day, come to Louisiana, enjoy it all. It's vital just not only for the entire state of Louisiana. It's an economic driver, as I've mentioned. We just depend on so much tourism dollars to really help, because those folks that come visit Louisiana keep our taxes lower because of the fees and other things that come in and help pay for jobs as well as all the things that we take for granted. It's just an incredible, important industry that Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser takes incredibly seriously. He's working tirelessly around the U.S. and around the world to encourage people to feed your soul and to come to Louisiana, have a great time.
Got a texter here that's asking, do you guys have Feed Your Soul bumper stickers?
Yes, we do. I'm looking at a stack of them now.
So how can they get them? In fact, this person says they want one. They want to put it on their car.
I'll tell you what, if Sean or whoever the producer is, have them pass along the contact information, and I'll be happy to put not only a bumper sticker in, but a visitor's guide and all sorts of fun Louisiana items for him to enjoy or her to enjoy.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, Charles Windham. Congratulations to the entire effort. The state of Louisiana is most appreciative. Charles, PIO for the State Tourism Office, thank you for your time spent with us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks, Newell.
All righty, folks. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Did you see the float in the Rose Parade? I got to tell you, I did, and it was stunning. Give us a shout. No Filter Friday. We'll talk about anything. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back on No Filter Friday. We'd like to hear from you, 504-260-1870 on the talk and text line. Let's go to John. John, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Lou.
Good morning.
I saw this news story earlier in the week about construction companies in the city getting vandalized, their equipment, their vehicles being vandalized, dodging bullets. And the city says it's their responsibility to hire their own security. Well, if these construction crews are working on city streets, shouldn't that be the city's responsibility?
You know, this is diverting account of, you know, who's responsible and who should be held accountable. And I don't know about you, but I'm completely frustrated when I hear our elected leaders say, well, you should be doing more. We heard Lori Lightfoot say that in Chicago as it relates to the retailers on the smash and grab crimes that are going on there, that they need to do more to protect themselves. Really?
Well,
that's the message.
I am so glad
that's
that I
the
live
message
in Jefferson
that we
Parish.
Want to be that we want to send out there. I mean, really, is anybody even thinking about what they're saying before they say that? So, if that is their obligation, right? You know, at a construction, which is a business, right? It may be temporary for them while they're on that job site. Then that means everybody here has to take responsibility for their own safety and security in a way beyond simply, you know, locking your doors and things of that nature that maybe now community groups, neighborhood associations be hiring security because they need to be responsible for their, I mean, it's the most idiotic, stupid statement I've ever heard.
Well, I'm so glad I live in Jefferson Parish.
What has been your experience?
Well, I mean, I just, you know, they drive crazy in Orleans Parish. You go out to, I might lift an Uber driver, and I hate when I get rides out to New Orleans East. You're afraid somebody's going to run you over, run you off the road, or carjack you.
Yeah, just this morning, John, just, you know, two shootings, one in the east, 6,000 block of Chef Mentor, a woman was killed this morning. And in the 2400 block of Maisant, another woman was shot multiple times. Her condition is not known at this point in time, and she was on her way to the hospital. Tragic.
Yeah, well, my personal opinion, which I know it would never happen, they need to triple the salaries of JPSO, and the Jefferson Parish Council and President, let them overtake Orleans Parish and run that one, too.
Well, that's not ever going to happen. But I do believe that all of our officers are underpaid. We ought to work more it relates to informal education and training, and we ought to pay them more. And we ought to make sure that we have the necessary numbers in order to do so. And that ought to be the first priority. That's why when I wake up this morning and I see this story about the Coca-Cola thing, I mean, it's just symbolic of misplaced priorities. I mean, yeah, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I get that. But the lion's share of the council meeting ought to be on issues that affect our lives, our safety, our security every day in the city. Throughout the metro area. That's just not to the city. That's throughout the metro area. That ought to be priority one.
20 years ago, I worked at the motor pool as a contract laborer for James, I can't think of his last name, in the light shop. I actually put the first 300 computers in JP's cars.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was just a contract laborer. I didn't work for the department, you know. They paid me cash, so, you know. It was a fun time, but I got to where my knees were bad and stuff, and it was hard getting in and out of trunks and under cars, running all the wires for the lights and stuff. So I actually took $1 an hour cut in pay and went and worked at a local supermarket down Metairie Road, which you frequent sometimes, and I wound up becoming the meat manager there.
Well, there you go. Congratulations to you. John, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it.
I'm retired now.
Well, even double congratulations.
Now, so. Yeah. So, I knew. Thank you.
All right, John. Take care. Let's go to Tony on line two. Tony, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hey, look, Sheriff, thanks for taking my phone call. I've lived in Jefferson Parish most of my adult life, but you're probably going to agree to disagree, and I don't want you to get mad with me, but I'm going to put you on the spot. I know you're a former sheriff. I think you did a great job in Jefferson Parish. You took over after Harry Lee and just kind of rode the wave, and it worked. Then you retired. You work in radio now. But I heard you say a minute ago, Sheriff, that police need to be paid more. Absolutely. EMS, all the frontline workers, police, firemen, everybody needs to be paid more. Who can get that done? Sheriffs like you. When you were in place, I think you did fight somewhat to get your sheriffs, your sheriff's deputies, some pay, but not enough, because your pay was raised a lot when Joe LoPinto was in state politics, and he voted for one of the largest raises for a sheriff in his state. So why can't you sheriff, whether you're police chief, superintendent, why don't y'all go to the state, your local leaders, your federal leaders, and fight for these policemen more? They could have a voice. You guys come with some clout.
Well, we have, and part of the challenge that the JPSO, and it was actually not a bad challenge, but all of our revenues were self-generated, right? And the realities are that we have to manage and massage the budget carefully. It's why when we had the financial downturn in 07, 08, 09, I right-sized the department. We were about 1,750 employees, and we dropped it to about 1,490 because we had gotten too big, and we realigned services, and it didn't impact the citizens at all, and it afforded us the opportunity to increase the salary by over a period of years by almost 20%. So we worked the budget all the time trying to do so. I know that Sheriff LoPinto is doing the same thing at the present time right now. It's hard. You know, obviously they will have excess dollars because they lost so many employees because of the culture that we've developed and the lack of respect that we have for law enforcement today. Some of it is our fault. I get it. But the fact of the matter is that we got to be the biggest cheerleaders for our law enforcement folks, because if not, we're going to have issues. And we're going to have issues just as what's going on in the city, because crime knows no geographic boundary. And when they elect progressive DAs, a progressive sheriff, they don't believe in jailing people. They're trying to get people released from jail. In fact, they brag about how many people they get released from jail. And the fact of the matter is that we don't want to criminalize criminal behavior. They're saying that this is normal behavior, is what they're saying now, that these are behaviors that happen all the time that we're criminalizing. Really? I didn't realize that theft was a behavior that was accepted in society today. So the exact words they use are relatively common behaviors. I didn't know.
That's a problem, Sheriff. Yeah. I agree with you. I mean, Tulane and Broad, every time you see on the news is a criminal that's in the news, and then, you know, he starts off with small crimes, then it leads up to something big, and they wind up murdering somebody because, you know, they want to go out there and make a quick buck and rob the working man, and it's a revolving door. I mean, the criminals don't fear the judicial system anymore. I mean, it's a shame that the good policemen have to suffer for the bad ones out there that, you know, get frustrated with people and they slap them around a little bit. Somebody films it with a cell phone, but nobody wants to be a policeman anymore because of the BS that comes along with it. So if you attract policemen with more pay, better benefits, I mean, when I ride through New Orleans, these sheriff, I see them all over Jefferson Parish. I think y'all did a great job. I think Sheriff Lepinto's doing a great job, too. I ride to New Orleans East several times a month. I work in sales to go to Mississippi. I have not, over the past 6 months, seen one state trooper or one NOPD from the time I hit the CBD, the Claiborne exit, all the way to New Orleans East. They're non-existent. Nowhere around.
Yeah, let me tell you, presence is important. Proactive policing and patrol and observation, as we call it in the business, is important. And being seen is important. It serves as a deterrence. And, you know, and we've moved away from it. We're mostly reactionary. We're not doing any proactive stuff. And that's why when I hear about disproportionate impact and this and that and everything else, I kind of chuckle because we don't pick our perpetrators. There's people calling in to 911 and telling us who they are. We just go out and find them and arrest them. And, you know, there's very little proactive policing done in this country today. We have over a 20% vacancy rate in policing in America today. And if people don't believe it, just look at the stats. It's reported all the time in the city of New Orleans and others that are more impacted than other jurisdictions. An officer comes on duty and has a 20 to 30 call backlog. You never catch up with that backlog. It's impossible. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul every second of every day. Not every minute, not every hour, every second of every day. I talked about a story I heard the other day. A vehicle was stolen while waiting to have it valeted on St. Charles Avenue at 11 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, they were still waiting for a response unit to come out and take the report, because they can't make an insurance claim without getting a report. So they spend their entire day waiting for the police to come out. And if everyone thinks that elected leadership is going to really take this on the chin, they're wrong. They're only going to do it when people start screaming in the streets that they want something different. And make them answer the questions. Because unless and until that happens, it's not going to happen. The chief is taking it on the chin every day. Did you see his press conference yesterday? Interesting. Thank you so much, Tony, for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Giselle. Giselle, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Giselle?
Fine, thank you. I do definitely agree with the gentleman. Our officers need to be paid more. I understand about the pay. I have an ex who just retired, 30 years, wonderful guy on the NOPD force. I have another relative. She's in homicide. They need to be paid more. They're often pulled from their areas. I mean, we're having Mardi Gras this year. I'm sure they're going to be pulling more officers to be on the route. We need to pay them more.
Mardi Gras is going to be a challenge. And
I don't know how
Chief Ferguson's going to do it, but it's going to be a fishes and loaves routine, truly.
It really is.
And I have a lot of empathy for that organization because I just can't even imagine. And I agree with the mayor on this. And I know a lot of people say, oh, you never give kudos to the mayor. She's right. and I applaud them for, you know, working this out. It's not perfect, the situation, but the staging of the parades and where they stage and how they do it is critical, and it's very human capital intensive. And she is dead spot on when she talked about this, and it may be this year or next year that it has to be done. And if that's what we have to do to save Mardi Gras, then so be it, because it is a reality. I know I've done it. I've sat in the meetings of staffing and everything else, and they're not making this up. It's not a story that's being told. It is a fact, and we just have to come to grips with it, and it's one of the byproducts of a three-year hiatus of not hiring anybody under the Landrieu administration. Big, big mistake. Huge, and probably the most detrimental decision made in a decade by an elected leader in this city. And we will continue to feel the ills of that ill-informed decision made by his administration for a number of years to come.
But you know what? As voter, the voters put certain people in places. And we have to deal with what comes afterwards and the administration and what they work on and what they're doing and what is prevalent to them at that time. And Landrieu was in there for quite some time.
Yep. And look, we're going to talk to an expert about this in the next hour about New York. And my feeling is, you know what, New Yorkers, you're going to get what you deserve. You elected this progressive DA. Now you're having buyer's remorse. Too late. Should have thought about that before you went in and pulled that lever, because now you're stuck. And we're going to see what happens there. This is going to be a real interesting science project, one that I think is going to reveal itself with a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, and a lot of bloodshed.
And it's something it's unnecessary. It doesn't have to be that way.
But that's what they wanted. They got it. You got it, Toyota. Giselle, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us, folks. This is Newell on WWO. We are back. And, you know, right away, of course, everyone, did you have buyer's remorse on January 6th of last year? I think I've made myself perfectly clear. We asked of Mike Pence of something that was a pig in the poke. So, yes, I did. It was absolutely stupid. All that needed to be counted were the electors at that point in time. And our system of government is not set up that one person is empowered to totally discount an election. Said that from day one. Was very angry about my Republican counterparts that really believed that that was an appropriate answer at that point in time. And I said then, and I'll say again, stupidity. Let's go to Chris. You're up, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good, but I got to tell you, I'm disappointed in my fellow Americans. We have come to rely on the police department when policing, when protecting our community is the responsibility of the community. We have eyes everywhere. We have cameras everywhere. You know, I mean, you see something wrong, you know somebody. What happened to turning people in? You know, what happened to calling the police and saying, look, this is going on, and I want to be, you know, part of the process that fixes it? As Americans, we're all responsible for the peace and welfare of our community. And that means doing the right thing. What has happened to that? Where's it gone?
Well, doing the right thing's not—it's not vogue right now.
I can understand that the wall age. You can't get a police officer out for 6 or 7 hours. You got a judicial system. Hey, you call the police. You turn in your own kid, say, and that mm-hmm. kid's back on the street. You know, and they're going, why should I? Why should I be part of the community? Why should I support the legal system when nothing's going to become of it? what it's going to do. Now I've got this guy mad at me, and he's going to come back and reciprocate. They've got some bad things going on, and it's only going to get worse. What are we waiting for? For someone to declare an emergency where the National Guard comes in and we have to go into martial law in order to get things back in line? Is that – I got news for you, people. That's where we're headed. It is going to get so bad.
First off, that's not going to happen, but it's never going to get things back in line. And so that's not how that is going to work. You are right in your first statement. Where it starts is you only accept on your street what you're willing to accept in your home. And collectively and collaboratively, together as neighbors, we begin to make a difference of what we're willing to accept. And we need to hold our elected leaders accountable. I don't hear anybody out there critiquing what's going on, that we're not spending the first 90 minutes of our day focused on crime in this city.
No, I was a paramedic for the New Orleans Police Department. I was unit 1805, night shift, lower ninth ward. I loved every minute of my service. I got to tell you, I saw the worst. Mm-hmm. I saw the worst of what humans can do to each other. But I was never once threatened for my safety. The people of that district loved my partner and I, Jake, and we took good care of him while we were down there. But it's changed. I would not even think of going back today.
Well, Chris, you know the difference, too, is, and we still have a lot of folks that are of the same mindset as you. You came to work every day giving a damn, knowing that you could make a difference. You earned the respect of your constituency. You managed and massaged the public trust carefully. Unfortunately, we will have elected leaders that will consume all of the capital of your goodwill and throw it away. And that's what irritates me more than anything else. Are all of the good folks like you that have made the sacrifices for years, that have built up the public trust, and it doesn't take an elected leader 20 days to just get rid of it all, to waste it.
No, I didn't make any sacrifices. I loved what I did. I felt like I was making a difference.
You were.
And they disbanded our unit. And it hurt. But in the long run, I mean, financially, I came out better. I went into the plants as a safety engineer. I went back to school and doing quite well. But, you know, it takes a certain kind of love to be a police officer. Not wanting to be a boss, not wanting to, you know, make people eat a hood ornament or anything like that. It takes a certain amount of love for community. And for people to do that, and somewhere we've lost that image of what it really takes to be a great law enforcement. I think peacekeeper, that we need to recognize them more as peacekeepers.
Absolutely. Chris, thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. Got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. I think we have David up. We'll come back to him when we return. Stay with us. We are back, folks. David, you're up. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. How are you, Newell? Hope you had a good New Year.
I certainly did. I hope you did as well.
Yeah, pretty good. As a matter of fact, San Francisco is catching some rain, so maybe we're going to survive this drought. But I was interested in the issue of insurance on public events. And I was going to tie together both the January 6th event as well as Mardi Gras. You know, Mardi Gras has no expectation of committing crimes, let's say. It has no expectation of anything but being a joyous, rousing event. But they still need insurance because they're like drunks in what you might consider accidental injuries as opposed to intentional. Mm-hmm. Now, in the case of the January 6th event, they had to put in for insurance in order to be able to use the public square that they had the speeches in. And then the overflow crowd, there was a minimum of 30,000 people that showed up, so they couldn't all fit in that same park. They were in public streets. They were in city land, county land, federal property. And so the insurance policy would have had to have been managed for all of those different tiers. So if somebody got their skull cracked in one section of Washington, D.C., does the insurance policy cover it? And when they put in for the insurance policy, did the insurance company know that they were going to do a coup? Or did they use fraud to trick the insurance company into covering them?
Well, I think we're overcomplicating something that's fairly simple, right? The vast majority of people that attended that day did not participate in criminal conduct. The ones that
did, they get covered?
Well, if you're just out on the public right away, you have every right to assemble, and most of the time you're not required to provide insurance. So, no. I mean, the fact of the matter is that's why I think the area was fenced that they actually had the event in, and there was restricted access. So it wasn't open access to that event is my memory. But thank you so much for the call, David. Happy New Year to you. You got to get to top of the news. When we come back, we'll visit with Zach Smith from the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies about progressive DAs.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.